Matthew 24, verse number 35. Is everybody there? All right, this is what it says. Heaven and earth shall pass away. Is heaven still up there? Is the earth still here? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Y'all see that? Well, what that means is the words of the Lord are pure words. Psalm about verse chapter 12, about verse 6 and 7 says the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tries the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. That means when God says, I'll give you my word, that means today in this generation we can put our hands on a copy of His word. If we can't, then God's a liar. And when you go to the Bible bookstore, things that are different are not the same. Purified seven times the Bible. They started translating the Bible in 1604. And it came out in 1611. How many years is that? How many? Seven. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Purified seven times. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Now, what we're going to do is, and some of you may have seen some of this stuff before, but who wrote the Bible? Well, God used 40 different men. Starting in the book of Genesis, He used a fellow by the name of Moses. The last book of the Bible, Revelation, was written by a fellow by the name of John on the Isle of Patmos. And they were about 6,000 years apart. Well, 4,500 years apart. From Moses to John. 45 writers, different men, to record His word. This is what David said. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Think about this. Think about this, if you would. The Bible, Christianity, 40 writers from 1500 B.C. to 100 A.D., 1600 years. The Quran, that's Islam. They have a couple of different ones. They have the Quran and I forgot what the other one was. But anyway, have one writer. And it was 610 A.D. for 23 years. Then the Buddhists, they have the Tripitaka, which is one author. And then you have the Bhagavad Gita, which is the Hindu Bible, one author in the 4th century. 40 writers. Now, this is think about this. 40 writers, okay. If there were one, it was one writer of the Bible, it's very easy to piece things together. And make it say what you want to say and make it parallel. But if you've got 40 writers, 1,600 years apart, how hard is that to do? And then you've got all of these that are just one writer, that wrote these. Man wrote these. You say, well, man wrote this. Well, we'll see about that. Matthew says this, but if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more. That is, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Well, think about this. The origin of Islam, one person. Buddhism, one person. Scientology, L. Ron Hubbard, things like that. Scientology, Christian Science. Mormon, Moronism. Jehovah's Witnesses. False witnesses, other religions, were all started by one person. Okay? And the Lord has protected His words by 40 different writers. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. You understand that? Now, the Bible is also unique in its subject matter. These 40 different writers, separated by 1,600 years, living on three different continents. What about that? Having diverse occupations, everything from fishermen to tax collectors to all kinds of things. Wrote the same with the same voice about the Lord Jesus Christ and His kingdom. Every word from Genesis all the way to Revelation compare perfectly. The authors range from doctors to fishermen. I already said that, didn't I? To farmers, yet all speak with one voice without contradiction about a single subject, the King of Kings, who is the Lord Jesus Christ in His kingdom. Now, think about this. The test of the Bible, this is the test to know if this Bible is true. Watch this. The test of the Bible is the spirit of prophecy. Revelation 19 tells us this, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The Bible says, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Malachi two or four, I can't remember. Prepare ye the way of the Lord was the cry 800 years before Jesus came in Bethlehem's manger. It was prophesied 800 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem, 800 years before he was born, that he was going to be born. That's how the wise men knew where to find him, by comparing the book of Daniel, Jeremiah, the book of Malachi, things of that nature. Muhammad, nobody knew he was coming. Buddha, nobody knew he was coming. Joseph Smith, nobody knew he was coming. Jesus Christ is the only one that was expected to come. You understand? Isn't that something? Now, how many prophecies of the first coming? That means in the Old Testament, how many prophecies that foretold, like Micah 5:2 says, where he was going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, things of that nature. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. All of these prophecies of the first coming. Watch this. If there were only 8 prophecies in the Bible about Jesus Christ coming, the odds of that being fulfilled would be like taking silver dollars and placing them 2 feet deep on the surface of Texas. Paint one of them red, blindfold somebody, and mix all the silver dollars. Pick the red one on the first try. If there was only 8 prophecies, that's the probability that would happen. That's pretty good, isn't it? If there were 31 prophecies, the odds of Jesus Christ fulfilling them on a whim would be the same as fill 10 earths full of dimes. Paint one dime red, blindfold a man, and the odds of him picking the red dime on the first time is the same odds if there were 31 prophecies, all of them coming to pass, that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem when it was done. That's pretty good odds. Well, think about this. If there were only 48 prophecies, that the odds of Jesus Christ fulfilling all those prophecies on a whim at the same would be like this. You take one electron. Electron would fit on the head of a ballpoint pen. You paint one of the electrons red in a known universe. Blind someone and have them pick the electron on the first try. In other words, that would be miraculous. Would you not agree? That would be way beyond our comprehension. Would you not agree? That was only if 48 prophecies of the Lord. You know how many prophecies there are? There are 50 prophecies in the Old Testament that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to become in Bethlehem, the first coming. Doesn't that excite you? And he fulfilled every one of them. You say, what's the probability? It's miraculous. And so, anyway, there's all 50 of them. Now, I see good things in your future. No other religion's writing contains this kind of, in other words, you take the Islam Bible, the Quran. All of those have no prophecies in them whatsoever of Muhammad coming or Muhammad going to rise and all this kind of stuff. The Bible is the only book of its kind, stands far head and shoulders above all the rest. Now, some of you have seen this before, but just stay with me and watch this. What's the word gospel mean? There is a built-in dictionary in this Bible. There's a built-in dictionary. You say, how do you study the Bible without knowing Greek and Hebrew? Hebrew is the Old Testament, Greek is in the New Testament. How do you know? You hear Bible professors, they will tell you that you have to know Greek and Hebrew if you want to understand the Bible. Well, my grandmother didn't. And she could read it fine and understood it fine. So, how do you understand it? Well, there's a built-in dictionary. I'll show you what I mean. We won't take time to turn to the verses. But what does the word gospel mean? Context always defines the meaning. Well, in Luke chapter number 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He anointed me to preach the what? Gospel. That is quoted in Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach what? Good tidings. Y'all see that? What's the word gospel mean? Good tidings. What's good tidings? You see? It's a built-in dictionary that you don't have to know Greek or Hebrew. It's already built in for you. studied to show thyself approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, let's look at this. The word salvation. You think the word salvation, what do you think it might mean? Well, Acts 2:19. I'll show you wonders in heaven above, so on and so forth, this, that, and the other. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be what? All right, if you want to know what that word means, the word saved. I know you already know what the word means. But if you didn't know, and you were just picking up the Bible for the first time, if you knew that that is quoted in Joel 2, verse 30. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be what? What is the word saved mean? How did you know that? Y'all know Greek and Hebrew? It's a built-in dictionary in this Bible. And let me say this. I don't know if this offends you or not. Hopefully it won't. But if it does, you know, get glad in the same... Hallelujah. That only works in a King James 1611 Bible. That only works. Now, you say, preacher, what if I want to use something else? Well, help yourself. I mean, some people like skim milk. Some people like 2%. I sort of like the 100%. If you want milk, you get red top. You don't want pink top. If you're a man, you don't want nothing pink. Blue top. Who wants blue top? I want red top, 100% whole milk. And when I come to church, I want 100% whole Bible. Nothing left out. Well, that only works like this. Well, all right, let's look at this. There's not only a built-in dictionary, but there's also, let me show you what I'm talking about. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 12. You want to turn to it. This is why I did it on the screen, because it takes us forever to find Deuteronomy. How can I myself bear alone your cumbrance, comma, and your burden, comma, and your strife? Now, the way the Bible does this in the way it wants you to understand definition. If you want to know what the word cumbrance means, and maybe you already know what the word cumbrance means. But if you didn't, you take that word, your cumbrance. Well, your burden, your strife. Just take a wild guess what your cumbrance would mean. Your what? How'd you know that? Because the word your is in front of it. And it'll give you the definition. Your cumbrance. Okay, what's next? Your burden. What's cumbrance? Burden. What's burden? Cumbrance. Is anything hard about that? You say, well, that's an old English Elizabethan term. Well, so what? Study. Find out the terminology. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 3. Here's a good one. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him speak peace and ensue it. Eschew. Job chapter 1, Job was a man, feared God, eschewed evil. You want to know what the word eschewed means. And you may not know. Well, it's what you do. It's the built-in system in the Bible that if you ever figure it out and learn it, you will never have any trouble figuring out what a word means. Now, take this. You see the word eschew? That's the word we want to know. What's the first two words in front of it? Let him. What's the word on the end of it? Evil. Let him evil. Let him eschew evil. Eschew is what we're trying to figure out. Let him evil. Y'all see let him evil? Let him evil. What's in between let him evil and verse 11? Eschew. All right? Look at verse 10. Let him evil. What's in between let him evil and verse 10? Refrain his tongue from. What's the word eschew mean? Ain't that something? It's built in your Bible. And you don't have to know Greek or Hebrew to figure that out. It's a built-in system. And those 40 writers from Genesis all the way to Revelation didn't know one another and had no way of knowing that system was in there. You say, well, all these men wrote the Bible. Guess who was holding their hand Huh? He said, well, I want to use... Look, I'm a firm believer. Free country. You use whatever you want to. Help yourself. But once you see the truth, you're responsible for what you do with the truth after you see it. And you feel free to use the Koran if you want to. But don't call me and go, Brother Jeremy, I'm confused. Well, yes, you're going to be confused. All right. Well, hallelujah. This is going over better than I thought. Ezekiel 35 and verse 6. Here's the word of the Lord. Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, I will prepare thee unto blood, and blood shall pursue thee. You see the word sith? Sith thou. Sith thou. Now, you're saying, what in the world is sith thou? Okay. Well, let's look at it. Sith. What's on the end of it? Thou hast. Sith thou hast. Okay. That was in verse 6. Well, we just read verse 6. Sith thou hast. Well, look at verse 5. Because thou hast. Look at verse 10. Because thou hast. What's before thou hast here? Sith. What's before thou hast here? What's the word sith mean? How'd you know that? Isn't that something? Now, have I lost my ever-loving mind, or is everybody seeing that? There's a built-in dictionary in that Bible. Whether it be Old Testament Hebrew or New Testament Greek, it makes no difference whatsoever. Now, this one may be hard to see because, anyway. Now, this is found in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 through 7. If you want to look at it in your Bible, you're free to do so. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, held with our hands have handled, the word of life. We're talking about the word of God. Now, look at this. You see, we have here. Looked upon. Y'all see, we have looked upon. I know you already know what looked upon means. I'm just telling you what the built-in dictionary says. Looked upon. We have. Well, what's we have here? Seen with our eyes. What's to look upon? To see with your eyes. Isn't that something? Okay, maybe it's not. Verse 2. For the life was manifested, it was seen in it, and bear witness, and show. Actually, it's shew. But we would say show, but S-H-E-W, shew unto you. Shew unto you. Shew. I could tell you what shew means to me, but we're talking about the Bible. You know, when changing baby's diapers, like, shew, you know. Anyway, all right. Shew unto, all right, which was with the Father and was manifested unto. Well, the word shew is before unto. What's the before the word unto here? Manifested. What's the word shew? Manifest. Ain't that something? Only works in a good Bible. Whole milk. Verse 3, same thing. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Declare. You say, what's declare? Well, sometimes you would think declaring would be what I'm doing right now, declaring. And that is a true definition. But in the context here, how do they declare? Well, we unto you. These things write we unto you. What's declare? Ain't that something? In that Bible is a built-in system. If you'll read, study, to show thyself approved unto God, you'll figure out. You say, well, preacher, I don't understand what this word means. If you'll figure out that system and look, the Bible, God Himself, will show you what He's trying to tell you. A child can figure that out. I did. All right, look at this one. All right, take your Bible and look at this one. You look like you're sleepy, so take your Bible and look at Luke chapter 1. Look at Luke chapter 1. And look at verse number 2. And look at verse 3. Sometimes it's good. Now, the screen, I love the screen. I love because it's you can do things faster and people are visual creatures and you can see stuff. You're too used to video games and stuff. But I'm going to tell you, don't ever get away from looking at the Bible. Now, look at Luke chapter number 1. Look at verse number 2. Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning, y'all see that, from the beginning, were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. Look at verse 3. Well, I know you already know what beginning means, okay? I'm not insulting your intelligence. I'm showing you how the Bible does it. In the front of beginning is from the beginning. Well, look at verse 3. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things, from the what? Verse 2 says, from the beginning. Verse 3 says, from the what? Very first. What's beginning? The very first. Ain't that something? Now, let me see if I got this one, because there's another one in there, and I don't know if I got it up here. Yeah, it's there. Now look at verse 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order. Y'all see that? To set forth in order. In order. You say, I want to know what to set forth means. Well, you look down in verse 3. After where we just read from the very first, to write unto thee in order. Y'all see that? Well, what's to set forth? To write unto thee. It's sandwiched in between to in order. Set forth. You're wanting to know what set forth means. Verse 3, to in order, write unto thee. What's set forth? Write unto thee. Isn't that simple? Very simple. And that Bible is, listen, this is, you cannot, people listen to me. Brother Jeremy's been called a lot of stuff in Dyer County. And I count it as a badge of honor. he's King James only. He believes that's the only Bible. Yes, I do. I sure do. And I do not apologize for it. Camera, zoom in right here. Yes, I do. And the rest of you preachers ought to get with the program. Hallelujah.
Well, anyway, where was I?
But you can't go to a Bible bookstore. I want a copy of the Bible. Just go in there and say, I want a copy of God's perfect word. And see what kind of look you get. Just do it. Try it. I do it all the time. It's fun. Just when I'm bored, I'll pull in over there at Union University. Did I say that on camera? Yeah, I went there till I got kicked out. Anyway, I forgot what. Anyway, they were teaching the swoon theory, and I had a fit. I had a blackout. I was like, no way. You know, the swoon theory, this is off the subject, but anyway, the swoon theory is that Jesus really didn't die on the cross from the lack of blood. He passed out on the tomb. Just passed out. And when they placed him, passed out on the cross. When they placed him in the tomb, the coolness of the tomb woke him up. I stood up and said, I'm out of here, Jack. Hallelujah. Teaching that garbage. That ain't even in the Bible. That ain't even good garbage. Now, here's what they say. They say, well, these newer versions clear up a lot of stuff and they make it easier to understand. Have you ever heard that? Easier to understand. You know, they just take out the these and thous and that's all. Really? And they make it easier to understand. Really? All right, let's see. Ezra 9:5. The Bible, the King James Bible, says heaviness. Right? Well, the NIV, when they came to the word heaviness, they said, well, let's change that to abasement. Which is easier to understand. Okay. Ezekiel 40, verse 18. King James says, over against. Jamie, you remember Papaw Ballinger would say, up again it. Over against. Well, when the NIV translating committee, they come to this over against, they say, well, let's change that to abutted. Easier to understand. So what? They lied to you. Oops, you got caught. They changed voice to acclamation. Amazed to aghast. Well, I think I know what aghast is. Y'all are slow tonight. They changed the word chains to armlets. Confounded to bewilderment. Cut in pieces to blunted. Strong to blistering. Is that easy to understand? So what they did, they lied to you, right? Oh, they tried to pull the wool over your eyes. Now, who killed Goliath? You sure? It all depends on what Bible you have in your lap. You've been told David killed Goliath. Well, the Bible says he did. But the NIV says Elhanan, the son of Jair Jordan, the Bethlehemite, killed Goliath. NIV, 2 Samuel 21, verse 19, Elhanan killed Goliath. All depends on what Bible you have. Huh? I think I'll stick with whole milk. Because you can get very confusing right here, right? You want your kids reading this, and they hear from here, David killed Goliath. Huh? Boy, I'm getting some weird looks. You say, well, what does the King James say in 2 Samuel 21:19? This is what it says. In the NIV, it says Elhanan killed Goliath. The Bible says Elhanan, the son of Jair Jordan, Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath. You know what they took out? The brother of. You say, oh, we just removed three words. It makes a big difference, don't it? Things that are different are not the same. Some people are talking about, you know, the New King James. They say, well, the New King James, oh, that's, you know, great. The greatest thing since sliced bread. Well, okay, let's find out. King James, Psalm 43, verse 1, they changed judge to vindicate. Thoughts to anxieties. They changed the word fat to verdant. I mean, I wouldn't know to get offended if somebody called me verdant. I would like, oh, thank you, thank you. Yeah. I mean, it's like sugarcoating it, you know? You know, we're not going to go all over these, but there you go. You know, the deep to the abyss. It, look, did. How much easier... I mean, what word could you make did to be an easier word? Well, they just said performed. Isn't that wonderful? Well, yeah, performed, did, yeah, okay. But if my kid's reading the Bible, judgment hall to praetorium, that's great. Anyway, so on and so forth. Well, that's the end of this. Thing. I didn't want to do that because I didn't want y'all to think it was over. Let me show you a couple of other things real quick. Two more things. Oh, it's just 15 till. Turn your Bible to Matthew 23. Two more things and I'm done. Matthew 23. And I hope you've enjoyed what you've seen. I hope and pray that you have because it'll help you. Look at Matthew 23. All right, let me find the verse. All right, in verse 33, I'm going to try for time's sake, verse 33. Jesus is really, I'm talking about getting after the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all of that. And he's calling them, you serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Y'all see verse 33? That's Jesus talking. He calls them vipers, serpents, a bunch of snakes. Boy, he couldn't pastor many churches around here, could he? Not but for one Sunday. You serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? And so on and so forth. He's really getting. Now, before I read any further, the Old Testament is written in Hebrew. Hebrew is, Aleph is the Hebrew A, and then it goes to Tau. So that would, it'd be A to T in the Hebrew. A to T. Greek in the New Testament would be Alpha and Omega. Y'all have heard that. A to O. But in English, we have A to Z, right? Okay. Watch what the Lord does. And you say, I mean, this is hidden in it. Watch. Just watch. Verse 34. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes. Scribes are people that wrote the Bible. You know, signature, things of that nature, scribe. And some of them ye shall kill and crucify. And some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. Verse 35, watch it close. Jesus is still talking. That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth from, all right, you see that? From where? The blood of righteous who? What's Abel start with? Unto the blood of who? What's that start with? Jesus says, when I get ready to preserve a Bible, it's not going to be A to T. It's not going to be A to O. By the time it gets to you, it's going to be in English, A to Z. Ain't that a wonderful book? I'll show you one more. There's multitudes of these. I'll turn to John 1 real quick, and we're done. John 1. Look at John 1. Now, for time's sake, you've heard me quote these verses so many times, but I do want to point out in verse 1. John 1:1, are you there? In the beginning, now that almost starts like Genesis 1, in the beginning, God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the what? Now, Word should be capitalized. And the Word was with God, and the Word was what? All right? The Word, capital W, is the Word. You know who he's talking about? The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 2. All things were made by Him. Now we know God, in the beginning God. But who's John 1:1 talking about? Who's the Word? Jesus Christ. You understand? All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehendeth it not. Stop. Period. And then it goes to verse 6. There was a man sent from God. You see the change of subject. You go from the Word and Jesus Christ comparing to verse 6, talking about John. Y'all see that? How many books in the Bible? 66. There's, you say, how do you know that? Well, there's 39. Okay. Old Testament. Old is how many letters? 3. Testament is how many? 9. 39 Old Testament. 3 Old Testament. 9. 39 Old Testament books. Everybody got it? This is how I have to do it. New Testament. You're thinking, well, that's the same number. No, but in the New Testament, you have to add a multiplier, which is Jesus Christ, the cross. You tie 3 times 9 is what? 27 New Testament books. 39 and 27 is what? 66. Now, if you want to sit here and take 10 minutes, or take my word for it, or count them when you get home, count the words from Genesis 1:1 down to verse 5, and there's 66 words talking about in the beginning was the Word. 66 of them. Why? Because that's whole milk. Nothing skim about it. Nothing 2% about it. That's why I make a big deal about it. You say, you're just being whatever. No, I'm not being whatever. You use whatever you'd like. But this is why Brother Jeremy uses this one. Help yourself. Use the Catholic Bible if you'd like. Help yourself. But don't fuss at me when you don't make it to heaven. And you thought Mary was the only way. I told you. But you feel free country, use what you want to. Isn't it amazing how God has preserved heaven and earth, where we started our verse tonight. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. I still have a copy. Hallelujah. Well, all right. I'm going to take time for some prayer requests.